It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right. We got to talk about something. Because you and I look like assholes.
How so?
They renamed Johnson County. After the lady, the black lady who got the first PhD at Iowa. And as you may recall, and as our listeners may recall, you and I pretty much ended it on. Technically, this isn't renaming. And also, technically, we don't really care. Except now it's happened and it made national news and everybody thinks it's the greatest thing ever. So we look like dicks.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Everybody's like, oh my God, they did this thing. And the articles didn't say they did this thing that was largely trivialized by Tony and William on the Magical Talking Hat podcast. But I felt that was the subtext. I have, however, in our defense, learned more information about the process that brought us to this point that was left out of Beth's explanations, possibly because she didn't know, possibly because she inherently wanted to deceive us, and very possibly because she actually did mention it and the hat just edited it out, because we all know the hat does that for Beth for some reason. But contrary to the way I envisioned it, in which the county was just like, you know what? We probably should come up with something cooler from a PR standpoint for this. Let's do this. What actually happened was a library researcher at University of Iowa stumbled upon this information and the history of the person who was involved and was like, this guy kind of sucked and had nothing to do with Iowa and also owned slaves, you know, and that hence the kind of suck. And then sort of like spread that information. And then like a movement of people were like, hey, Johnson County, could we maybe change which Johnson that's about? So that to me was a very different image of things. And in light of that, I'm deeply in favor that the people wanted a thing that I think is a good, I certainly don't think it's a bad thing. And the people felt it was important on like a symbolic level and a optical level. And I am super in favor of that. I still don't give a shit because I don't ever think about a person when I say Johnson County, but I think it's a good thing. It's giving my seal of approval. I am distancing myself from this gentleman over here who may still wish, I don't know what evil machinations he has in his mind, what kind of heartless individual he is. I 100% on my own am saying I now deeply sanction this behavior and good on you, Johnson County, Iowa. So what do you have to say for yourself? Okay.
For myself?
How could you have done this? For those of you who don't watch YouTube, I am
the coverage was that they
wagging my finger at him.
What I found interesting in the coverage, and I'm glad they said this because this is largely true. Counties, I think, in a lot of Western states, you know, weren't named by like the people who live in those states, right? I mean, they were named by bureaucrat somewhere to say, well, we're gonna have 99 counties in Iowa and we're gonna call them all this. Sometimes people got to name them, but as far as I know, Johnson County wasn't even named by any Iowans, and the guy wasn't an Iowan.
And actually,
I'm always going to be in favor.
Never
of
set foot in Iowa in his life. Never came to Iowa in his whole life.
I'm always going to be in favor of counties named after people who are from that state. That's cool. And I would, you know, and if people were going to rename counties, of course, I'm always going to prefer it be a woman or a person of color, because they're obviously not proportionally represented. All of that. I would be so much more impressed, as we have said, though, I would be so much more impressed if, like, the whole county was changing. It wasn't just Johnson County still.
Yes.
You know, important accomplishments. I don't oppose the county being named after this person. And also, another thing I saw in the coverage was, you know, how many people who were wanting this to happen, and this is a real accomplishment for them to get this to happen. All that's great. I have no problem with any of that. I just think conceptually, the county is still named after this guy.
That right, basically,
This person wouldn't have been chosen to replace him if her last name wasn't Johnson.
Yes. But as we addressed at the time, though, the cost involved with actually changing the county name from Johnson to McGillicuddy or whatever would have been prohibitively expensive. And I would say arguably irresponsible to spend that level of resources on something like that. I'm betting, you know, a lot of other good public programs and things within the county would have suffered if we had had to divert enough funds to actually change the whole name to, as I again am assuming, McGillicuddy County. So really, I'm starting to think
Howard Johnson County
or Howard Johnson. I mean, okay. No, it would have been worth it then. It absolutely would have been worth it then. And we wouldn't have had to do much either. That would have just been a marketing campaign. Come to Hojo's, you know? Now we're a county. The cost of putting the green tile roof over the entire county probably would have been prohibitive. No, but the more I look at this, the more I feel like it's Beth's fault. I feel like Beth might have purposely manipulated us to make us look bad, so that we would be on the wrong side of history when this finally came out. And, which is not to say that I think Beth feels that way about it. I think she was setting us up to look bad.
Oh.
I will bet we can find other examples where she has given herself an alibi and very publicly come out in favor of all of this, but didn't tell us, so that we end up with our dick in our hand, so to speak. It's a terrible, terrible thing.
I don't see how we look bad. We weren't against it or opposed to it or anything. We just
we declared it meaningless, and the country has found a great deal of meaning in it. Also, I seem to remember you specifically like yelling about its ridiculousness, and I think tossing out the N-word at least once. I mean, I have to go back and rewatch it, but I feel like that happened.
Yeah, you go do that.
If you think William said the N-word in that episode, go to the blog, magicaltalkingheads.com, and tell us about it. Yeah, so no, it's Beth's fault. I think it's Beth's fault. It's all fun and games till I accuse William of using the N-word. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast that takes trending world-class celebrities and brings them here to eat strange, exotic, and in some cases genuinely dangerous foodstuffs in a reality-style competition that takes place just off camera that we never mention at all and mostly just talk about bullshit. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 536.
Okay, could you say episode 530 what? The last digit was cut off. Also, we appear to have a really impressive lag. Did you hear me ask you to repeat the episode number?
Yes, and I did repeat it.
Oh, absolutely.
537?
Okay.
Right.
That the apparently the second time, literally none of that came through. There was just silence. And I didn't see your lips move, but I did catch it that time. Yeah. This might not be a hugely long episode, folks, because we obviously are having our usual technical difficulties. And as we have discussed somewhat earlier before we're recording, we're going to come up with something new for next time. William is, in all likelihood, pretty soon going to get a new laptop, and hopefully that will help. But in the meantime, we're going to have to work around. And we will. For next week, but for right now, you're just going to have to live with it, because neither of us is wearing pants, so neither of us can go to the other person's house. I assume. I don't actually know if I'm wearing pants. I assume I'm not wearing pants. So, for those of you just joining us, we have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people who need people, write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat, for the moment, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards, manifest physically within the hat itself that has the information of the email on it. And then we are forced to draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, and that's the whole show except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. But soon, the hat, and I think simply from a conservation of matter and energy standpoint, this will be so much better. Soon, the hat will just forward us the emails. That'll probably be way simpler for the hat. And it'll give you all the chance to be involved on a more nuanced level. And it'll give us more reasons to be mad at Azure Talon. So, how is your week? I can't tell if this one is lag or if you told me how your week was and I didn't hear.
What did you say?
How was your week?
Oh, I mean, you and I got together. That was pretty much the highlight.
We did. And the highlight of us getting together was steakhouse premium bacon, which was fucking 3/4 inch strips of bacon. It was ridiculous. It was insane. No, we had some pretty
good. Yeah, I didn't even ask you.
It was pork belly, but it was like it had been cured. So it was nice. I wouldn't want it to replace regular bacon for me, but it was good. Yeah, and we had some real heavy, heavy talk at IHOP. We got into a lot of stuff. How our political positions relate to each other on the political spectrum, and the nature of both gender and race as they relate to modern society, and a bunch of stuff. And nobody asked us for help publishing things at all. It was a pretty good time.
I think our overall conclusion about such matters is we don't really know what we're talking about.
I just found it like, so I don't want to speak for you. I absolutely could, but I know sometimes you don't want things said. So I'm going to say for me, you had brought up the concept of transracialism because you had been reading stuff lately, and I believe had not encountered that before. So we were discussing the idea of, I support transgenderism and consider it valid. Think it's cool to do it. And I currently sort of don't believe in / support / agree with the concept of transracialism. And yet I don't, that's an emotional feeling and a gut reaction. I have yet to be able to formulate why, what the difference is for me. And after like 3 hours of conversation, I gained quite a bit of insight as to why I might feel that way, but no more insight into a rational explanation for it and whether or not it made sense, like no closer to being able to give a good argument for a position in either direction. So it was genuinely enlightening and informative and has not helped me at all. Except possibly to know myself a little better, which isn't that what we're all hoping for? To know me a little better.
Yeah, I can't really tell if we're on the same page in relation to all of that. But as far as what you said there at the end about how there's a different feeling about each one, and we can sort of describe why there's a different feeling, but we don't really know if that's enough to be an adequate justification for, you know, having a different opinion about one of the, I think we're exactly in the same boat on that score. So yeah, it was an interesting conversation.
Also best line of the day when William asked the server, so these crispy potato pancakes, they're like potatoes, right?
Oh, shut up.
P.S. Look, they were.
I didn't
they
know if they were like potatoes. I didn't know.
No, actually. Know
if they were. I asked you beforehand if they were like latkes or whatever.
And I think basically what they were like. Are.
But I didn't know if they were made of potato flour or what. But I'm pretty sure they're just latkes.
It was beef. Yes, it was. Which was, that was interesting at the time. Because I was surprised you had never encountered that before. So it was interesting that you had never encountered what they call crispy potato pancakes. Yeah, which I think is a way to serve latkes without calling them anything Yiddish, you know? I don't know. There's probably some weird anti-Semite sentimentality built into that. Not that like IHOP is opposed to the Jews, but just that there's some sort of actuarial thing where if you put crispy potato pancakes on the menu, people will buy them. And if you put latkes, fewer people would buy them. I don't know. Or maybe it's a perceived thing like that, that nobody's ever actually tested. Cause that would be weird to have like the control menu and then like the different menu and like you sneak them to different people and like, see, like that would be strange. And also I don't think enough people order them that you could get statistically significant results unless you did it nationwide. And I'm not sure IHOP's willing to put the resources into discovering how this works. But yeah, William had crispy potato pancakes.
I mean, I've had this kind of thing before, but they weren't called potato pancakes. They weren't called that. They were either called latkes or something else, that they weren't called potato pancakes. Potato pancakes. And I think of potato pancakes as something you would make with potato flour, like potato bread or You know, yes, because there is potato flour that you make bread things with.
And to my knowledge, that doesn't exist. I mean, potato flour exists and pancakes exist. To my knowledge, there is no food stuff that is pancakes made with potato flour. But no, I do take your point. But if I spent too much time focusing on your point, I wouldn't be able to mock you. And, you know, not willing to take that hit there. Like, it's what wakes me up in the morning. I just been riding that potato line all week. I mean, I don't know what I would have done with myself. Your week? Not a lot. It hasn't been a great week, honestly. I think I overdid my socialization on Tuesday. Between I got together with you and then I had gaming, and I think it just wore me out a little bit, which is a little bit disconcerting. Because I used to be much more of an inherently social person, and COVID fucked that up. And I think for some people with, you know, jobs, going back to jobs and seeing more people is forcing them to get more used to that. But I don't socialize that much. And so the process of me getting more comfortable with it is going slower, I think. And I feel weird about that. Also, we found out this week, we got the estimate for fixing the roof in the pool room, or rather replacing the roof in the pool room. And it's, I won't say it is more money than we have. It is more money than we can spend on that. So now we are looking at a whole bunch of different options of, you know, second mortgage, new mortgage with equity involved, a personal loan, begging parents for money, things like that. We're going through all that, and this is not fun at all. So that sucked. I did put together my now fourth summary of Odd Wings, and it is just under 3 pages, which is still longer than it should be, but I feel much more confident about it. I've decided we're getting to the point where I just have to query some agent just to have done it. And I'm less worried about the quality than just having done it, because the odds of the first agent I query taking me on regardless is incredibly slim. So that is progressing, and it needs to, because I think that's a source of a lot of my stress, is I just sort of need to get over that hump. Saw a movie last night, I think is worth mentioning. Movie on Netflix called His House. And I had heard of this movie a while back and thought it didn't look like my kind of thing, and then saw some reviews that made it look like it was my kind of thing. And then Trish last night was like, we should watch a scary movie tonight. And I was like, I know just the one, because it is a horror movie. And people said it's really good. And so we watched it. It is on Netflix. It is called His House. The basic premise is a married couple from South Sudan have come to the UK as refugees. When the movie starts, they have just been allowed out as asylum seekers conditionally, and so they are allowed out of detention, but they are not citizens. They're not allowed to work. They get a very specific allowance of money, and they get a very specific place to live that is theirs, but they cannot go. They have to live there. There's a bunch of rules. They have to be really careful. It's like being on parole. If you fuck anything up, they're going to kick you out of the country. And so they get this place, and it's focused on their new place and trying to make it work, and freaky things happen, and history comes out, and all sorts of stuff. It is notable casting wise in that the female lead is the same actor who played Ruby in Lovecraft Country. So for those of you who watched Lovecraft Country and knew how much Ruby kicked ass, you should watch her in this as a Sudanese refugee. And also notable for having Matt Smith, aka the 11th Doctor Who, in a fairly small role, but the third largest role in the movie. It's mostly the two leads, and then a distant third is Matt Smith. And I found that the movie is really fascinating if you assume Matt Smith's character is Doctor Who, and it kind of works in a way that you could imagine like a Doctor Who episode going on behind the scenes dealing with this stuff, and for whatever reason he has to pretend to be this other guy. It kind of works, which is interesting. I will say, I apologized to my wife as soon as we watched it, not because it was bad, but because it was exactly not the kind of movie I thought we needed to like relieve the stress of the day or whatever. It is scary. It is also very sad and very angry, because it deals directly with the refugee experience. And though there is real horror stuff in it, and it's very freaky and also pretty well done, there's a lot of subtext and metaphor as it relates. In fact, Trish and I kind of argued about this. I think you could make the argument that the horror stuff in the movie didn't actually happen and that it's all essentially metaphorical. She doesn't agree, but I think there's definitely some wiggle room. That being said, it's a really good movie and I highly recommend it. It was a very impressive film with very good characters, a good story arc, a somewhat original idea, and I think a really good sort of, like I said, there's sort of the subtext of the refugee experience, and I think it dovetails really nicely with the horror elements in ways that I really like. So I would highly recommend that. Remember how I told you about that TV show Warrior, where the Chinese dude in 19th century San Francisco was working for a tong and kicking ass and shit like that? And I talked about how we seemed to kind of enjoy it because it didn't take itself too seriously. Well, we watched episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very different episode. And it was mostly just people being shitty to other people. So we did not enjoy that episode. We haven't technically given up on the show, but we haven't watched an episode since then. So, not great. Have watched some more of that before in her show, and I'm still enjoying that, though. Also on HBO Max. And I think that's it, except for we'll have to do Loki watch here. I assume you're caught up on Loki?
Yes.
All right, so let's do Loki watch. How are we feeling about Loki? I believe this is exactly halfway through the series.
Okay.
How are we feeling?
Oh, how are we feeling? I mean, I don't know. I mean, this episode seemed a little better than the last one. We're going to watch it all the way through, I'm pretty sure. So it's
same here. Just, same here.
It is what it
definitely
is.
Definitely gonna watch it all the way through. And so, I still would recommend it to other people. But I'm getting less happy as it goes on. I think this episode was better than the last episode, but I now like the series even less than I did then. For all the standard reasons, again, for a big push that I think Owen Wilson was a terrible casting choice. And now for the added thing that I'm like, I think what it boils down to is, yeah, Disney sucks at doing time travel also. Because that's like, I'm just like, no, this is messy. This is messy time travel that doesn't hold up. And that's a problem for me. We're also fast tracking a lot of relationships that I don't think deserve it. Somebody had a very touching moment where they called somebody a friend. And I'm like, it has not been established that you are friends. Like, no. Somebody tried to admit feelings to somebody else of a romantic nature. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. You guys have known each other for hours. That's insane. A lot of that shit. There were some heel turns that seemed very out of nowhere. That, I mean, maybe just speak really well to the deviousness of the villains, but mostly felt sort of tacked on in a way. I will say that there was sort of a two-step process of big reveal in Loki, not counting the post-credit sequence. Did you watch the post-credit sequence?
Didn't know there was one.
This was the first episode where there was. I'll either tell you about it or you should watch it. It's very short, but very important. Outside of that, the big reveal at the end of this episode was sort of a two-step process. And in all undue modesty here, I saw both parts of it coming quite a ways away. And in particular, the second part, which I was annoyed because all the characters are on screen are like, what? Why is this this? Why doesn't this doesn't make sense? And I'm like, yes, it does. And then there was a reveal and they're like, yes, it does. And I'm like, exactly. And that always bugged. Like, I know that should just make me feel cool, but mostly it makes me feel pandered to by Disney. So yeah, not great. But I mean, like, this is an expectation thing. The show is still better than most TV shows on the air and arguably most TV shows I watch. But it's way worse than I feel it should be. And then I want it to be. And it's real bad. My sister just got Disney Plus and they binged through WandaVision. And I was like, well, hope you enjoyed it because that was the peak. It's all going to go downhill from here. So, yeah. I mean, we're definitely still going to watch it. I recommend the rest of you watch it, but it is a mess. But I think that's it for me. What about you? Nothing?
Nope. Nothing to report.
My sister, when she did get Disney Plus, was super excited to discover that National Geographic was in there. And I was like, yep, a lot of us have gotten very excited about that part. I said, I'm pretty sure that's most of what William watches on it. All right.
Yeah, we love it.
Let's question some shit. Shall we? Yes.
Okay. Yes. Will you?
Thank you. Won't you? Ooh, from Stu. Is there a language other than English that you wish you could speak fluently?
Yes.
Me too. All right, next question. No, sorry. We should probably. What would that
language? Real language? A real language? No.
Could you speak like a Nerf language? Is that doable?
Well, I mean, but he does mean a real language, right?
Yeah, like very real. Very real.
Real language. I don't know.
I have been listening to so much of them. I have been listening to so much of them. I'm doing that thing where, like, all I do right now is listen to McElroy Brothers. And I'm sure in a few weeks, I'm just going to never listen to them again. Like I do with, like, every show and every, like, that's a thing. But right now, I'm in the zone and I'm consuming so much McElroy Brothers. It's ridiculous. And as we discussed, periodically watching the Curse of Real Sword video.
Well, to be honest, if I could speak every language, that would be cool. But if there's just one, I do wish I could speak German. Because for one thing, there's a lot of if my wife and I ever go to Europe to study genealogy, a lot of where we'll be is like in English, like in England and Scotland, places that speak English. And pretty much the only other place in Europe we would go to do genealogy is our German speaking countries. Plus, when I was in college, I almost studied German because you know, being interested in philosophy and sociology and theology, there was a lot of German thinkers, you know, who had original, original books and stuff that I kind of wanted to read in the original German, but I never did learn German. So, but that's,
and as I think you've mentioned several times on the podcast before, also, it's been a dream of yours to read Mein Kampf in the original.
I hate you.
I think you've said that several times. There was an episode of Cats Does Countdown, and the two guy team were doing something, and they were like talking amongst themselves, and the host was like, "What are you two doing? You're disrupting." And one of them was named Sean, and the other one was like, "Sorry, Sean was just talking to me there. He brought up Hitler." And the host is like, "What?" He's like, "He said, yeah." He said, "I don't know about you, Miles, but I'm on the fence." And so then it became this whole thing of one of the guys being so-so on Hitler. They've gotten him a couple times with that. He actually he was talking about creating a reality TV show where you brought all the Nazi generals back to life and then marooned them on a planet or on a island with no supplies and like had them fight it out. But what they did instead was, he was like, "So what I'd do is I'd bring back to life all the top Nazi leaders," and then they cut him off and are like, "All right, very interesting. Let's move on." And he kept being like, no. He's like, no, you just ended your career. It's fine. Let's go on. So that was the thing. As I believe I've mentioned before, I have taken language lessons in Spanish, French, and Japanese at varying points in my life. I retain none of it. It's a little tricky. I think for practical use, there's basically three languages outside of English that you would want to learn for general practical use. You obviously have a very specific use for knowing German, but if you're like, what's the most useful language to learn in the world today after English, and I think there's three, and it's sort of actually sort of a historical thing. A long time ago, the best one was French, and that's still very useful, but it got superseded by Spanish quite a while ago, and then in more recent years, probably Cantonese, probably more so than Mandarin. But one of the major Chinese dialects. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that's where I am, is those three. And I mostly think I vacillate between French and Spanish, because I think Spanish would be a little more useful within my life. But I just really like French, the language. I recently got to hear two people talking in French on a thing I was watching, and it just sounds so nice. I just love hearing people converse in French. It's just lovely. So I think it would be those. I mean, there is always and Stu wrote this, so he'll love this. I did for quite a while have an urge to learn Welsh, but it was mostly just because I think Wales is cool. And I now, especially at this age, I'm like, that is not a good enough reason to learn an entire language. You know me, I'm not a judgmental person. And yet, I have friends who are doing Duolingo lessons for Klingon. And I cannot even. I've attempted to even, but I cannot even, because I'm just like, I get the fandom thing, but I'm like, it takes effort to learn a language, even just basic conversationally, and that one is completely useless. Like, if you had a thing, if you're like, we're gonna make videos that are like Star Trek fan videos and they're gonna speak Klingon, then I get it. None of my friends are doing that. So I'm like, if you would just put this fucking effort, like, to me, it feels like such an English speaking privilege thing, because Americans especially are really bad on multiple languages, and in most other countries, it's not a thing. And to put the effort to actually learn another language that you might, you know, greater communicate with people on different levels, and you pick the fake one. I find that, well, like I said, I'm not a judging person, and therefore I find I'm unable to finish the sentence. But suffice it to say, I am unable to even. Can't do it. Okay. I've tried. I have spent a long time attempting futilely to even, but I can't. I don't know why that has tickled me for years, taking the I can't even and just drawing it out. I don't know why it does. Oh, side note. This morning, as I'm taking Trish to work, I say, so I'm going to call my sister later today, because that was the plan. And I did end up doing it. And I said, yeah, I'm going to call my sister. And Trish says, yeah. And when she answers the phone, you're going to say, what's up? And I said, I am. And she said, that's what we voted on last night. And I'm like, okay, then. And she said, yeah, I was surprised you abstained, but that is what we, and then we laughed because that was funny. So then when I called my sister today, she picked up the phone and said, hello. And Trish isn't here. No one else would have known. But I said, what's up? And then I said, sorry, that is the end of a very long bit Trish and I have been doing. And my sister just went on. Like, she neither asked for clarification nor gave me long enough to jump in with clarification. So to her, that was normal. And I'm incredibly unsure how I feel about that. Like, I don't think I want that to be my brand. But on the other hand, I also kind of get it. Like, I don't know. I felt weird all day.
What do you mean your brand?
My brand. This is, you know, I call people and say, what's up? I don't like that. I'm very much in favor.
That's not the part that's your brand. Yeah. Your brand is you do things that are unpredictable and unexpected, and people just go, oh, well, Tony's doing something unpredictable and unexpected. So they just go get on with it.
See? And that's what I like. That's why I'm conflicted, because that's what I like to hope. But the problem is,
okay,
this is a bad one. Like, bringing back a 90s beer commercial that wasn't that funny then. Like, is my brand Tony does weird and unexpected things off the cuff at any given moment? Or is my brand Tony does weird and crazy things off the cuff at any given moment that frequently are dumb as hell? Because I don't know that I like that as much.
Okay. Sometimes it's not going to work, though. I mean, you're not going to be 100%. Come on.
I know. Just the fact sometimes that she it's not going to be. Even like whatever the phone equivalent is of blink on that one. Like, like, I will stand by being unable to even. I love that bit. If you don't like it, too bad. I will stand by that one. And if you just accept that from me,
okay,
I'm a little disappointed it doesn't get a laugh, but I'm like, yeah, no, that's straight Tony coming at you. That's good. If I say, first thing on a phone call, what's up? And the reaction I get from you leads me to believe, yeah, that tracks with the person I know. I'm like, but I don't want, I mean, does it? I would hope you would expect a little better from me, I guess, is what it comes down to. And if you say that, oh my God, I think we broke it. He's laughing so hard we broke his internet. All right, he came back. Seriously, what just happened was you looking like this and the faintest echo of just braying laughter for like 10 seconds. And then you came back silent and normal. So I think, but I'm like, and if you come at me and are like, that's lame, you can do better, then I'm ready. I'm like, this is my wife's bit. I am just honoring it and yes, ending it to its full conclusion. I'm not a bad comedian. I'm a good improver and a good husband. And then I'm good. But when I come at you with that and you're just like, yeah, same Tony, different day. I'm like, hold on. This should not be considered of a piece with my greater body of work.
So you don't think you're being a good improver and a good husband is of a piece of your.
No, I do. But what occurred with my sister. What occurred with my sister was that she found it so just who I am to say that stupid line that I didn't even have to explain. What I wanted to happen was her to be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And me to explain, I'm a good improver and a good husband. And then she'd be like, oh, that makes sense because I have no idea who that person was, but this person is my little brother. And I'm like, yes, he is. Instead, okay. I got a sister who's like, yeah, he's the sort who thinks it's just funny to do a decades old catchphrase at the start of our conversation for no reason. And the problem is not just that I don't want to be known as that. I'm not sure I disagree that that isn't who I am. And I'm very unhappy about that. So that's enough talking about my wife.
Good one. That was good. That was good. Very good.
My favorite times are not when you like lose it laughing, when you're just like absolute donkey laughing. My favorite are the ones where you do the Muttley laugh from Wacky Racers. Like you just did. You just did. I don't know. There's something about that feels more genuine to me than your huge guffaw. Not that those seem fake, but there's just something. When you do that, I feel like I really touched your soul there with that joke. When you do the Muttley laugh. It's something. I think it has a very Muppety quality that I associate with. Okay, I need to parse that. A Muppety quality. I was not saying Muppet equality. I'm in favor of Muppet equality, but that's a whole different issue. And the episode title, maybe? I don't know. Yeah, so what were we talking about? It doesn't matter. We should stop now. It's been enough time. So tell us what language you want to speak, or in the case of, I assume, jazz, tell us what six languages you already speak, one of which I'm assuming is thieves' cant. And if it's not, I'll be shocked. So do that. And we will accept patois and pigeons as long as you have years of commitment to it and not just you listen to a racist comedian one time and started imitating him. So keep that in mind. We also accept Creoles, same thing. So tell us what languages you speak, because I feel like it's weird that neither of us speaks a second language. I feel like we're the kind of people that would, but we don't.
I mean, I studied French for years. I just don't, I just can't right? do it.
Yeah.
I just can't do it.
So. It's weird. But also, if you want to write into the Magical Talking Hat, do it. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Understanding that at this point, what will happen is we will read the whole thing on the air, including any signature you have listed. When we get to that, we still have to get through a lot of questions. I'd hope to get through more today, but then we got waylaid by, I don't know, one of us brought up a ridiculous side comment that spiraled out of control. I don't remember which of us it was, so let's just agree that it's probably your fault. And we'll move on from okay. there. I mean, if you ever want to sue me for defamation of character, I feel like this episode is the bulk of your evidence. I have slandered the shit out of you in this episode.
The whole podcast is my evidence.
Well, yeah, but I feel like this one is a real nice, compact. He said I said the N-word. He said I was pro-Hitler. He said I'm the one who derailed it, when clearly you can hear that he derailed it. I'm trying to come up with a fourth one that I haven't yes. done yet, that then I do before we're done, but I can't come up with one. I feel like those are the big ones.
You made fun of my laugh a lot, but that's not really defamation.
No,
that's
just, I don't.
That's just
I don't,
being rude.
Also, I don't consider it that I made fun of your laugh. I love your laugh. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying with most people, the loudest and most like physical laugh is the one that you consider the most genuine in most cases. That's the thing. Like, people laugh politely or whatever, but you don't get a big like belly laugh that's faked usually. And I don't think you're faking it, but what I'm saying is that little laugh in my head for some reason feels, I feel like you have been even more amused when you laugh like that than I feel like when you do the traditional giant laugh. I don't know why exactly, but it feels it. I think it has something to do with Muppet equality. But I don't okay. know. No, I like all the laughs. I just weirdly like that one better than the big one. But I like the big one too.
Okay.
You got good laughs. Don't ever let anybody tell you you have bad laughs. They're so many things wrong with you as a person, as a human being, as a member of society, but do not let anyone tell you there's anything wrong with your laughs. Your laughs are great. Mm-hmm. I would go so far as to say it's everything else you have to worry about. Your laughs, spot on. If you want to comment on William's laugh, go to the blog magictalkinghat.com. And like I said, next week we will be formatting things differently. We'll probably switch to a 16:19 ratio, or 16:9. 16:19, that's nothing. That's almost a square and is really ugly. I'm going to start pushing that as a format option going forward. But not right now. We've got more serious stuff. Yeah, we will be back next week and we will have a different solution for this for the time being. In the meantime, I've discovered McElroy brothers end their podcast by saying kiss your dad right on the lips. I don't want to say that, so I'm gonna say rub your shins on a second cousin.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.